Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. The essential communication that is expressed here is actually nonverbal. But because we podcast these and people expect to hear something, especially since they drove a long way to get here, we're forced to talk about something. Verbally. But there's a kind of communication that is referred to often. And in this kind of teaching environment, the direct path of teaching, which is called transmission. And you've probably heard that word, or you have a pretty strong sense of what it is, and or you don't know what the heck it is, and you're wondering, what is he talking about? So I thought I'd say a little bit about that. Maybe give some hints about it. So the first thing is that the transmission is not verbal, even though it could include verbal. And when you hear the word transmission, you think, well, transmitter, which is sending some kind of signal out, and implying there's a receiver. If there's a transmission, there's some kind of reception. I mean, that's our linear, simplistic way of thinking about it. So there's usually a sense of, you know, there's a transmission from point A and it goes over to point B. Okay. And that's not really what transmission is, even though what's referred to as transmission could be experienced kind of like that, like you kind of get, what do they say, zapped by the guru. You know, all of a sudden there's some kind of energy hit that you can feel, some power, shakti. And that is often referred to as a kind of transmission in this sense here. But what happens is that as an individual becomes more familiar with their deep openness, their spacious presence of being, awakened consciousness, then this this is tricky. I don't know how to follow that sentence. Sorry, I lost that one. I'll try it a different way. I've often used the example of a tuning fork. You know, that there's a certain resonant field that your deep awareness has. And when you come into an environment like this, that tuning fork may be resonating, but it may be at a frequency that you actually normally wouldn't hear or feel. And so there's something about attunement that happens when one slows down the body, starts to notice sensations rather than being focused on thought, sensing the breath and so forth, becoming more aware on an energetic level, a chi level, a prana level, that sort of tuning of one's own inner tuning fork becomes vibrated. So even though it seems like that resonance is coming from outside of you and you feel it, it's actually that which you are being awakened by that which everything is. It's kind of hard to talk about this. So I often say that when you really are tuned into the transmission, when your personal self is dissolved and there's just this field of energy, it isn't even going one way to the other or back. It's actually going in every direction simultaneously. Even though in our linear mind, even on another linear level, it can only go one way if it's going the other way. So when the so-called student wakes up, he feels the connection with the teacher, and that's called transmission. But as soon as he wakes up, they mutually recognize each other as that. And so that's what the teaching really is. That's all the stories where a student is acknowledged, that's it, you have it. You know, that's what that is all about. That you and you know that. It's not an intellectual thing. There's a deep, profound, felt sense. It's almost, another way to put it would be as if you were falling in love on the high level, on a level where there's no attachment and no need, not a personal level. There's no person in it. But it's like a unified oneness. So I think that's a pretty good description. And often it feels like you're in love. I mean, I felt that with my teachers, certainly. It's this profound gratitude, this incredible love was there. And I think that that's often, not always, but it's often a quality of that recognition of our unified field. And so I like the word. I mean, I think it's a beautiful kind of description. But I also like to point out that it's always mutual. It's doesn't go one way. It can't. There's no such thing as it going one way. So it's when you're, what did someone say, when your nose is clean, you can smell the flower. So when you are open, openness is there for you. When you recognize that which you are, it recognizes you too. So when you love your truth, when you love the truth, if you will, the truth loves you. It is a mutual love affair. And I think that's why people devote their whole lives to it, actually, particularly after they've had a powerful glimpse, awakening, where it's just like there's obviously nothing more important than that. It's just, you know, everything else is transient, impermanent, empty, ultimately. As that quote that I read recently from Mayor Bob, I think, did I read it last week? Yeah. So, if you understand, when you're there, when you deeply get that, then when you come here, and we're hanging out, so to speak, and satsang, then it's really, if there's any work to be done, it's completely dropping any remnants of the personal self, and letting them all be consumed in the fire of the transmission. And turned into the light. That's why I call it alchemy. and transmutation. So whatever you bring here, whether it's whatever's coming up in this cooking environment, the cooking of the transmission, you offer it, and you naturally offer it, whether it's emotion, whether it's physical stuff, whether it's, you know, beliefs about how things are, or, you know, conclusions that you realize were limited beliefs that weren't really true, whatever. Ideas about yourself that you thought you were a certain way and you realize, well, that's not really true. Because you begin to move in more and more into this, and you say, and you naturally would say, I am this presence. We are this. Everything is this. There is no really we on that level. That's what non-dual means, that there is no, there are two. I mean, on a practical, you know, ordinary reality level of things, obviously there's two. There's dualism. There's, you know, relative reality. So transmission is in the realm of the absolute reality that we can't really understand, we can't really conceptualize. I mean, we do a very limited, piecemeal, poetic job of it at best, right? But you don't have to worry whether you actually understand the concepts at all, because if you have the courage and you're ready, which means you don't have a choice anymore, then you find out how to dive in and face what you haven't been able to face before, unwilling or unconscious of being able to face before. So, so coming here is an opportunity to completely surrender. Not to some teacher or belief, but surrender to relief, surrender to freedom, surrender to the space that is not the realm of struggling, the realm of the pile of, you know, conditioned, unsatisfactory circumstances. It literally does transcend it all. Even if you're dying, even if you're penniless, whatever the condition is, when you tune in, when you deeply unify consciousness with this field of presence, then you are at least for a while free of the conditional. I'm sure many of us, and I know many of us, would admit that if we hadn't found this, we wouldn't have made it this far. Because it was too effing hard. Or too disappointing or unfulfilling or whatever. So it truly is, and it's a beautiful description, the saving grace. And so I remember asking, when it was very clear to me what this was, when this became incredibly clear to me with my first main teacher, Jean Klein, and we had many talks together, and we spent all kinds of time together, and I asked him once, because people had all kinds of ideas about transmission, you know, which was really a lot of ideas about it. And And the question was something like, if the student was open and available, could it, and I don't remember how I phrased it, but it was something like, could it not be given? In other words, and the answer is, well, of course, it can't not be given. It's always here. It actually isn't transmitted. So transmission is actually not really accurate. It's always here. And when you're open, you are filled up with it. And at that moment, it can feel like you're receiving something. But actually, you've always been that. So that's the real full kind of truth of it. And that's why they say that you are already what you are looking for, you know. And even though on a intellectual level, that's not too satisfying if you're suffering. Right? Like, well, gee, what do you mean? This isn't what I want. I want to be happy. I want to be free of this. So, but when you, more and more, and I know all of you have at least tasted this, maybe just a little bit or glimpsed it, but you wouldn't be here if that wasn't operating, because it brings you into this kind of an environment. Because this kind of environment can be really agitating, actually, even though it's pretty low-key and neutral, you know. We're not doing prostrations on the floor, hours and hours of chanting and austerities. It's on that surface pretty like, you know, just show up on 9th Street and sit around for a couple of hours. Seems pretty low-key. But it's like a microwave that you didn't know was on, and you're in it. And people, and you wouldn't believe what I hear, I mean, and see over the years. It's incredible. And it can be really provoking of a healing process. And so someone can come here and they just really felt good. I felt great when I got here, but then, man, I just wanted to run out the door. Why? Because something is working. There's some energy working. And our condition is to be comfortable and feel good and resist discomfort. So we don't know how to trust the transmission sometimes, until we do. And or people, or often when people work with me privately and they leave and they say, wow, I just cooked for days and then a major shift happened. And I hear that all the time, or on retreat, same thing, that someone on a retreat doesn't necessarily feel great at the end. They might feel fabulous. They might have a major transformation. That happens too. But they could also be in a process. They could activate that here. So it's almost like a booster shot. So there is a kind of reality to the transmission in that sense as well, that it's almost as if you're getting amplified in the space of presence. And when I was with my various teachers, that's how I used being with them, was to completely surrender into that presence. Sometimes I could hear what they were saying somewhere, but that wasn't where my attention was. It was 100% aligned in that energetic field. I'm not saying that that's where you're at or should be. I'm just saying that that's another way to be here, if that's where you're at. So it could be at any particular stage along the way. But it's helpful to know that. I think it's helpful to point that out. Kind of fill it in a little bit. I remember something that was funny. I remember when a number of us kind of older students would be at Jean's, he didn't call them satsangs, he called them dialogues. And afterwards we would do a sort of an assessment, you know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, what was the transmission that night? I think it was a 3. It was definitely an 8. And then I began, and then I remember being with Robert in Sedona, Robert Adams, and just different people. And I began to realize, wait a minute, this whole measurement thing is completely a misunderstanding of what's happening. And that the variables are so infinite that I think because so many of us wanted to have a certain experience in the room, you know, a certain high, a certain intensity, whatever, that we related to that, that meant something. And so we often measured the experience based on that. But I began to realize that that's actually a completely not accurate measurement, because as one goes through openings and expansions, how can I say, you integrate that, and so going back into that same field won't have the same impact anymore. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying. You don't even realize that, in a sense, you are living in a bigger space, as a bigger space. So people often try to go back and repeat an experience and wonder why they're not having the same sort of blowout again, some big Shakti blowout, and they're looking for that. And they're missing the point entirely, interestingly enough, and don't even realize that's already happened. Anyway, there really is no teaching, really. It is a, I don't know what to call it, really. I like the word intimacy, because it's a profound intimacy of what? Giving of ourselves 100% and receiving 100% simultaneously. So I think I often describe it that way, where it is a giving and receiving 100% in both directions. And then you truly understand what this teaching means and why we come together like this and why we get the support that we have here. I hope that was helpful. Okay. Sometimes people ask me questions, and would you please explain what are you talking about? And so if you have questions like that, and you may not feel like you want to ask them here, that's fine. But you could send us an email or write a note down, and we could collect them. And I know when I was with Punjaji in India, he's now called Papaji, but he would get these letters, piles of letters from people from all over the place, and he would just sit there and he'd read them, and then he'd kind of answer them and stuff. And I remember I wrote him back in, I don't know, 89 or 88, and he invited me to come and see him. And, you know, I wrote him about my experience. He wrote this whole long handwritten letter back, and it's really beautiful. I mean, it helps. So if you have anything like that, like you say, well, would you explain what you mean by this, or what do you, or I, you know, feel free to give those to us, and I'll, and we'll have a little pile over here. So that I'm happy to do that. You know, I really think that the happiest, truly a happiest human being can be is when we're together in love at the highest level. I mean, I have to say that whenever I think in my life back on the highest moments, everyone is that. You know? How wonderful that what we're cultivating here actually engenders that, you know, brings that forth. And I think with that, we really know, without a doubt, without any belief about it, what the meaning of our life is. Particularly in the face of all that doesn't seem, let's say, good in the world or, you know, solvable in externally or internally, it's very easy to lose meaning as a human being and to be alienated and feel disenfranchised or whatever, right? You know? So I think when we really truly find this that we're talking about, and then we have the true meaning of life. And then life can be fulfilling. Even knowing that it's temporary or it's impermanent, you know, that, well, you don't think that anymore. It isn't even a thought. It's just this right here. Even if it's stuffed up and sweaty, a little raspy, coughing occasionally, whatever. Okay. You know, before we open up for questions, why don't we sit just a few minutes just to, you know, relax into the space here or into whatever's happening. Maybe I'll just do a little guided piece. I don't do that too often, but so just notice if you're allowing yourself to be here right now. Or notice if you're resisting something right now. So there's either allowing, or there's resisting, or there's a combination. Or maybe the mind is wandering off somewhere, and you're spacing out or tripping out somewhere. Notice that. Or notice what's going on in the body, what you're sensing, if you're relaxed, or if there's tension somewhere. And just notice that. And maybe feeling or sensing the natural movement of the breath. Noticing if you can allow the breath to breathe by itself. And if you're able to, just be that open spaciousness of awareness that is perceiving whatever is happening right now.
Hey, John.
Hey.
So I also wanted to get some advice about working for with some recent experiences. So in the last 2 weeks, I've been experiencing a lot of, especially when I'm sitting by myself, I'm experiencing a lot of, it's hard to describe, it's suffering, but it's more like a constriction in my neck, in my head,
mm-hmm.
Like kind of like an electric shock kind of feeling, bloody noses.
And you say bloody noses?
Yeah. I've been having a couple episodes of that, bloody nose. And just problems thinking at work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to get checked out by a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is kind of concerning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling that it's not just a health issue. My feeling is that it's not
mm-hmm.
just that,
mm-hmm.
but it's seems like it's more the pain of kind of fully letting go into the void, and a combination, and also kind of those are the two experiences I've been experiencing, is that letting go into the void, and also letting go into just some real kind of deeply embedded kind of personal pain.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two kind of predominant experiences that I'm getting. This is much heightened during sitting, but it mm-hmm. happens just throughout the day at work. Mm-hmm. They just come up, and
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, so it's been really affecting me physically, and I was thinking about just taking some time off work or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, I can feel it with you. I mean, I can feel it. I'm picking up on it. So I'm glad you're going to get checked out, because I think it's a good idea to make sure that there isn't something else going on, you know, that can, particularly often this happens when people are on a, you know, deep journey like this, and things are opening and shifting and energies are moving. It can sometimes aggravate other kinds of sort of organic processes and create symptoms. And sometimes it's really hard to sort out, is this, you know, a spiritual thing? Is this an organic, a physical thing only? Is it some combination? So I always say to people, check and make sure you get checked out, just to be sure it isn't something needs the attention, right? But I can also tell you, sitting here with you, and I can feel it, that there is a lot of energy building up and it needs to move. There's a lot in the head. There's a lot of pressure in the head. I can feel it. And often opening up the head, you know, can be, to be able to open up the cranium energetically can be really, really helpful to start to bring attention into the cranial bones, so they can start to, that energy can start to move out through the crown chakra, so-called crown chakra, the top energetic field of the physical energetic body, right, out through the top. Mm-hmm. And like you said, and this is what I was speaking about earlier, and you're well aware of it, is that, you know, we want to get free, but then we don't want to have to, you know, face the dark side necessarily. And yet that's sort of unavoidable ultimately.
Yeah. You know, one thing I was going to add is that, and as the tension builds up, it releases spontaneously at some point. I'm like, oh, I'm completely back to normal. Like, things couldn't have ever been better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just,
it's like a cycle.
It cycles, you know, out of my control. And
mm-hmm.
the suffering is kind of, you know, just as deep as the...
Are you sitting? Yeah. Are you doing any kind of a sitting practice?
Yeah. Okay. Sitting, walking.
How long do you sit for?
30 minutes, an hour.
How long?
30 minutes, an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's just, we could talk about this more when we have more time to talk about it than just here, but we could get into it more deeply. But this is why it really can help to have very specific training, actually, in knowing how to bring attention to energetic opening processes like this. So they're less sort of, what can I say, there's less downside to it. Unfortunately, you have to face it when you have to face it. So here it is.
Yeah, I think it
is. And you've got a, you're a very busy professional in your work and you have a lot of responsibilities. And so it makes it harder to have to manage it, when you're trying to function.
Yeah.
At a high level.
Yeah. I was thinking about, kind of opting out of work for a period of time. So
I'm
not sure if I'm going to do that or not.
What?
I'm not sure if I'm going to actually go through with that, but it's crossed my mind a number of times because it's just, it's like having two full-time jobs. And I feel like I know which one's more important at this point.
Yeah, well, that's why people do, go on sabbaticals or go on long retreats or, change their whole lifestyle even. That can happen. I'm not saying that is what is needed for you. I'm not giving advice in that way.
Yeah.
But, there may be times where really concentrated focus in this way may vary. I'm getting a real underline on this, by the way, while I'm saying this. So there may be real value in doing some very serious retreat work. Where you do maybe just take off some time and you really, really work on yourself in a certain way.
Because it's dying to be liberated, it seems like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I can't focus on anything else other than that. It's just like...
I understand.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's why I devoted my whole life to it. I had other options, it seemed like, but I didn't really. All the paths untaken. Well, when you have the calling like this and when it's pretty clear, you can't not do it.
Right,
otherwise,
right.
You'll suffer a great deal or horribly.
Yeah.
It really doesn't let you go anywhere else.
Yeah, because it really, in the past, I was able to focus on relationships and work, and it just seems like it's a whole lot of energy just to maintain that that area of my life. I'm frequently even letting a lot of those things go because I just don't want to do it, really. There's no urge for anything else, really. That drive is that seeking, it's not really there. It's just the desire to kind of liberate this.
Yeah.
Seems like it's the...
I'll make sure you have some appointments set up because we should definitely be working on this privately, for sure. This isn't enough time here to really do a certain kind of work that we should do, I think.
Okay.
I'll just say it right out loud now. Beat around the bush. It's you really do want to focus pretty... I agree. This is where, general teaching may not... This is where specific kinds of feedback becomes important. And I don't want to get too into that right now. Anyway, good to see you.
Okay.
And I just want to honor what's happening with you. And I understand how challenging it is right now, even overwhelming at times. But I've known you for a while now, and I can tell you that it is clearly moving forward, and it's a very deep, all-inclusive transformation happening.
Okay, thanks, John.
Okay,
appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Please come on up.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm new.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. So, over the past 6 months, precipitated by some severe emotional trauma, I've gone through a series of shifts. to the point that I can now hear a hum
mm-hmm.
of silence
mm-hmm.
really at will. Mm-hmm. And I don't think unless I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I suddenly get frightened because I'm letting go of something.
Mm-hmm.
But what I guess I wanted to talk to you about was how ordinary it is. Mm-hmm. I'm so surprised how I thought everything would be different, but it is, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling to, you know, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to express myself through life anymore.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this is it, then what do I do with the playground kind of, you know?
I do. How long ago did this happen?
It's gradually been building up, but really over the last 3 months it's been, and I've had Kundalini awakenings and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm.
Give it time.
Mm.
You know, there really is it really can take time to sort of regroup.
Mm.
I mean, I won't go into long stories about it, but fortunately I don't remember a lot of those, but they went on for long periods of time. But yeah, I understand. I understand it can be very disorienting for a while and like, you know, how you even do things.
Yeah.
You know, even putting out effort in a way, it can be like the physical body putting out effort can be a whole new learning experience.
Yeah.
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 That's it. Let's just sit together a little. What's your name?
Corinne.
Corinne. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Are you comfortable up here?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Hmm. Yeah, it takes a little while to get used to being this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, after a while, it's completely natural, completely ordinary. And you kind of have to relearn how to be sort of ordinary again in a way. I don't know how to say that exactly.
Mm.
It's easy to sort of be very spiritual.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
But trying to come back and just sort of be kind of not so obvious, like, you know, anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen. Mm. That'll happen. Hmm. Are you aware of your physical body?
I have to consciously remember.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I noticed. Mm. When I tuned in with you, there's some great presence, but the body isn't awake. Mm. So I would say that's the direction I'd go in now with you, mm-hmm. is to somehow find out how to reawaken the body with this alive consciousness that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just in a sort of transcendent samadhi thing.
Yeah.
We call that getting grounded.
Yeah.
I do, anyway. That's how I call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important for functioning back in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if you're around, if you live around here, but mm-hmm. we can talk more about this and fill it in. But I'd say that's just a little seed to throw into that fertile ground and just notice how that starts to become obvious to you and how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, that resonates.
I actually feel that whatever sort of mindfulness practices, those kinds of things, those are invented after enlightenment, not before.
Okay.
Because that's how people figured out how to function.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here now. I'm in a body. Oh, I'm turning the key in the car. I'm sitting in front of a group of people. How odd. I often have to tell myself what's happening. People think I'm talking to myself and I'm crazy, but it's just... Oh, I'm in Molokai. Huh. Because where you put attention, energy goes there. So now when you bring attention to your feet, your legs, your torso, your body will light up. You know, in a different way.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And now, then you'll know how to be in the world.
Mm.
You'll be more at ease.
Yeah. That's helpful. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Corey. Nice to meet you.
Nice
Thanks
to
for
meet
coming.
You. Thank you.
Sure.
Hello, John.
Hey, Harry. How are you?
Good. Opening that, get the heat out any?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe. It'd be too distracting right now.
Okay.
Thanks.
It's kind of been a long life for me, I feel. And
how long have you been doing this one?
70. It should have ended two or three times. And the biggest one was back in the 90s with AIDS.
Hmm.
So coming out of that, I was pretty much just staying on the couch and TV. That was very, that was a lot of activity at that point.
Mm.
But slowly over the years, the energies come back mm-hmm. and the productivity ability seemed mm-hmm. to be intact still. Mm-hmm. So spending time getting better was used in meditations and, you know, some yoga and stuff. So it's always been from youth. It's been a spiritual kind of mm-hmm. focus. So now I'm back, sort of, full, and had this impetus to keep connecting and put the value back out into the world with some kind of gratitude or something, I don't know. So I joined some committee and a board of a gathering council group. And now I want to run back and just hide inside. And it's like dealing with people and the fluid, gray, foggy mist that it seems to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what I'm asking, sort of, and she pointed something up that made me think of it, is like, how do you do without doing? You know, how do you stay engaged in the world? I don't want to go to an ashram. There's no desire for that right now. I feel that because of issues that are happening primarily with homosexuality, of which my life has been certainly affected by, let's mm-hmm. say. And there's a lot of work in that area to do as far as like civil rights stuff. Mm-hmm. So trying to be active is mm-hmm. this push to try and be there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also this incredible, like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, because I never did that much in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm doing it,
mm-hmm.
but it's like entering a world I never conceived of,
mm.
that it was that difficult for people to work together to be in tune with a focus to help others and to improve the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I just go like, did I overstep my doingness, you know? Did I get my ego in there so much that I'm going to save somebody or something?
Mm-hmm.
Which is in there. It's like I'm writing an autobiography of my story
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to, you know, like Harvey Milk said, you know, if there's that one kid that hears it and it doesn't commit suicide, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's...
That's very touching. I really hear you. And, you know, to balance sort of the inner journey, if you will, with, you know, the outer movement towards service and being of help and so forth is, I think, an important and difficult balancing act often. But once you're on this path, which you are, you know, how can I say this? Taking care of yourself, helping yourself, honoring yourself is the way to then be out there to help others. If you're, if whatever you're doing is throwing you off balance in yourself, then yeah. It's like we used to say in the old days, when I was in the peace movement in the 60s, and I realized, because the spiritual thing was happening for me back then, that I realized unless peace was here, how could I possibly be a part of creating it out there? So it becomes a mirror mm-hmm. for one's own inner practice. Not that one shouldn't go out and be an activist. I mean, right on if that's your calling. And to help and to be of certain, you know, to try to help. And then to deal with all the, you know, challenges of people working together for a common goal and all of that. You know, that's, you know, to use that environment as a mirror for how are you taking care of this? Because ultimately, the more sort of clarity that you have in yourself, the more clarity you're going to contribute to everyone.
I had a teacher long ago that said, like, if you're climbing the ladder and you want to help someone, make sure you have a good grip on your rung. Mm-hmm. And you brought up, I think, the part that I was sitting in this chair for. It's about what I'm seeing out there is not being seen unless it's being reflected from what's in here. It's kind of what I was hearing. It's like I was going, they're doing this, that, and the other. But I think it was inside me that
I... Well, that's ultimately what you'll realize. I didn't talk about this tonight. I was talking about it in Santa Cruz the other day, but is that when your awareness shifts into being awareness, then you realize that there is no one and nothing outside of yourself. So every relationship literally is a part of you. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you can even deal with it or not, it is. So then as you, and this naturally engenders profound compassion for a whole multitude of human suffering, you might say. Otherwise, it still looks like it's out there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's what I dropped out.
I can feel you dropping into that. So then when you can go there and see that they are all you, every part of you that's in conflict with itself, you know, then how you approach it completely is different.
Yeah, I won't, this is my guess, I won't see them so differently, but I won't make that the same judgment about
you. You will be completely vibrating on a different frequency. Then you will not have to think about it or have any concept about it at all. In fact, if anything, you'll probably find that it's all of a sudden a lot easier to be there and you're just more laid back and you're okay with how it's working.
I think it started that way for me. And mm-hmm. then after maybe about 6 months or a year or so, I've started to go to this other place. It was mm-hmm. like,
so it's bringing up some old pattern that probably wants to be seen and felt and released and healed and integrated and transformed.
And I know that process. I mean, I've learned it before.
Yeah, I know you do. It's not unknown. Good. I could feel it with you. It's great. It's working for you. I think going out there and doing everything is still working for you, even though it may be challenging at times, frustrating, makes you want to go back and hide. Well, go back and hide for a while. It's okay.
Yeah.
Go back under the covers and sit on the couch, look at the TV, whatever.
I do that too. I think I just haven't done enough.
That can be therapeutic.
Yes, exactly. Good.
Okay.
I felt the...
Yeah.
A thing.
The transmission. I know. Good. Yeah, I know. And people say, how do you feel that? Well, when you begin to realize, well, you can't not, actually.
Just everything is feeling right now lighter than when I sat down. Mm. Like, not lightweight, but in light.
Got it.
Lighter. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's sensing.
Yeah, cool.
I think it takes me from my senses into the realm of stuff that I can't see and all and can mm-hmm. let it come in. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah. Okay, so we have a few minutes just to sit in silence again, and then I'll just have a few things to share at the end. Well, it was good for me. Was it good for you? I remember when I was sitting with just Robert Adams in his living room, and we were sitting together for, I don't know, an hour or something. Just, I didn't have any questions. We were just grooving in this lovely presence. And I remember I just said, oh, I'm so grateful to be in your presence. And he put his hands up. He goes, it's my pleasure. And I realized, wow, it's mutual. It's a mutual connection here. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for being. And thank you for your openness and your spaciousness and your, you know, beautiful sensitivity. It's really amazing to share the space with so many of you who are really deeply tuning in, and I feel deeply enriched by our being together. So I'm really glad to see you and be with you, and I hope to see you soon. And in the meantime, have fun. Keep discovering. Okay, I'll see you next time.